This is the Montreal Bias. Oh my God, we're doing another one. The second of the regular season. I'm Zach, that man Sean. How's the mustache, buddy?
The mustache has gone the way of PK Subban. It's long gone.
Mm. So now you have...
Six seconds, that's a new record. Earliest PK reference.
I don't even think that is a record.
It's probably not enough.
Pretty good, though. Way to get it going for us.
Not bad.
So we should apologize. I should apologize. I already did on the recency bias, but I know we probably got some loyal listeners to this that don't listen to that little mini podcast that I do after game days. We were off for most of November, and that's largely my fault because I went and got married.
Yeah, congratulations, buddy.
Thanks. You were there.
I was there and congratulated you in person. But
yeah, you were part of my wedding.
You did it on the podcast.
Yeah, no, that's when it counts. I don't even know if the marriage is legal if we don't do it on the podcast. Probably have a fourth ceremony here on the podcast. Because I already had three.
Yeah, you've been a busy man. And we do apologize. It's been one of those months, but sometimes life gets in the way.
Yeah, stupid weddings. It was fun, though. I did enjoy it.
As did I.
I remember.
I don't.
I know. Some good pictures. And then I was off on my honeymoon, so that took up some more of our time, too. But we are back. Glad to be back talking about my Montreal Canadiens. We'll find out where Sean is these days, though I promise you people, he's not. I don't think he's back. And no spoilers, but I don't think he's back. We got a lot of bits to get through today. We'll probably triple up the bits to make up for the lost time.
Nothing but bits.
It was almost a full-on bad morning show right there. Nothing but bits. With Zach and the O'Neill Man.
Ooh, I like it.
That's not great. It's just your last name and I added man.
That works for me.
All right, as long as it works for you. Here's something I wanted to bring up right off the top. Maybe start some podcast wars, but we're riding this gimmick of me getting married, talking about that on the last pod, and then over at Puck Soup and Merrick versus Wyshynski, I'm mad at him, so I'm saying his name. He goes and gets married, and is trying to ride off, steal that glory from us.
Typical
media.
Typical left wing media.
So we got that kind of going. That's a controversy. Would you fall down there?
Did I fall down?
It sounded like you fell down.
No.
Sounded like you wiped out.
No, I'm good.
Oh, good. Okay. I'm sure the listeners were concerned as well as to what happened to you. So I don't know. We should probably get this going, talking about the Canadians. We both rendered our opinions on where we were, kind of past the quarter mark of the season. We both talked about what we thought the Habs were in an article that went up on Rabbit Habs, the official presenter of this podcast, in the forum. And if you could, for the people, just summarize what it is that you put in that.
Basically, I think at this point, it's not that complicated, right? They're an average team at best that is fortunate enough, or whatever you want, however you want to term it. They're an average team that is brought up, not A level, but probably 3, 4, 5 levels by a guy who, not only would I say is he the best player in the world right now, but is on a run right now that we haven't seen since Hasek.
Mm-hmm.
At that position. You take Carey Price off this team and you put even a good goalie in his place. You put Corey Crawford or Braden Holtby on this team and they're fighting for the 8 seed. But Carey Price is on that team, and that makes them the Stanley Cup contender, despite the fact that, forwards aren't great, the defense lacks a little bit of depth, the coaching is atrocious, the front office doesn't really know what they're doing. But all of that seems to be irrelevant right now because of number 31.
So the point is, they can win the cup.
Yep.
That's what I like to hear.
Yep. I mean, would I call them favorites? No. But... Yeah, they could. They absolutely could. They're in that short list of the 5 or 6 teams that could win it.
Who would you call the favorites?
That's a good question. I mean, Chicago.
Right, it's a good question. I'm a pro at this.
I'd say Chicago, wouldn't you?
They look good right now.
I know some people think they're getting a little...
A little long in the tooth?
A little long in the tooth, but still a lot of talent on that team, and they've been there before. And if I had to put money on it, I'd say them.
Yeah, agreed. But enough of this. The people are here for one reason, one reason only, I suspect, at this point. 76-6, time for that bit. Beep, beep, beep. I gotta lay this case out in front of you here, Sean.
Yeah.
The quarter mark always brings out a lot of polls, a lot of people's opinions. If the season were to end today, who would be your winner of each award? Trending hot right now, Shea Weber.
You think?
I mean, he's in the majority of those articles that I read. Weber, if he wasn't the top guy, he was a top three spot.
Yeah.
It's got a good narrative behind it. He's actually playing really well.
He is.
I don't know.
It's kind of continuously surprising that he's never won one.
That's true. Because he's a really good defenseman.
He is a really good defenseman.
Come on, don't crack.
He's a very, very good defenseman. He is, there is a better one out there.
Erik Karlsson.
There are two better ones out there.
And Drew Doughty.
Maybe three or four, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, listen, he's picked a hell of a year to have a career year. And if one thing's become extremely obvious, and I was guilty of this, and a lot of people were guilty of it, it does seem as if reports of his demise were greatly exaggerated.
That is true. Yes, that is true. He's actually pretty damn good.
Yeah.
I expected worse. I've said this quite a few times now.
He wasn't being propped up by Roman Josi.
Yeah, it doesn't seem to be the case.
No.
All right, but how's our boy in Nashville doing?
He is heating up, and not coincidentally, so are the Preds, right?
Yeah, the Preds. I was looking the other day. I tweeted this out, I think, from my account that Vegas is right now giving him 22-1 odds. That's pretty good.
Yeah,
I'd buy on that because I think they're a top five team.
Yep, I do too. And you know, they were sort of the darling pick to come out of the West, and then they stumbled out of the gate a little bit. But the last ten games, like they're starting to look like themselves, and PK is playing really well, and the team's playing really well, and Pekarinen, another guy who was not as over the hill as we kind of thought that he was. They're rounding into shape. It's a tough division. They dug themselves into a bit of a hole, but they're looking pretty good. And we forget that it's a long season, man.
I don't forget that.
Fair.
All right. I know what I'm talking about. It's a long season. 82 games and then playoffs, you know.
Yeah.
It's an excessively long season, in my opinion.
It's an excessively long season. And we do forget how many ups and downs there are and how many storylines there are and how things can twist and turn. Like, come March, would it shock anyone if... the Habs are going through a bit of a slump and Nashville's red hot and the narrative on the trade's done a complete 180. Like, never mind the fact that
it would shock me. It would shock me. This is it. Yep. Every time I told you only one or two more weeks of us weighing in and saying the Montreal Canadiens are still winning the trade at this moment, I'd be locked in for life. I think I'm getting close to that. I do not see this turning around to bite the Habs in the ass at any point. Shea Weber may just won 2 to 3 Norris trophies this season.
2 to 3 this season?
This season. That's what I'm saying.
Interesting. Put it this way. Brett Burns just signed an 8-year, $64 million contract. That contract will expire before Shea Weber's contract does.
Well, don't put it that way. How about don't put it that way? That's a new bit I call don't put it that way, Sean. That makes me sad. Holy shit. Yeah. That offer sheet, man, that locked Shea in nicely. The only offer sheet in ever used. Amazing.
Yeah, I know.
Pretty much the only offer sheet ever used.
Yeah, there's only been a handful. And, we've had this discussion before. I think they're there. They should be used. But when you see the type of contract that Weber has, you can see why GMs kind of hate the offer sheet system and why they consider them sort of inflationary.
Yeah. But I mean, that's nearly the only instance that ever happened.
Yeah, and Shea Weber was a monster. There was at the time, a handful of others, but
yeah. No. From that, I want to segue into another new bit. I'm going to call Hmm, Are They For Real? And this week in Hmm, Are They For Real? The Columbus Blue Jackets, Torch Squad.
I don't see how they could be.
That's the correct answer. A, because they're the Columbus Blue Jackets. B, because John Tortorella is coaching them. Let's see. I don't know what C is, but...
Well, C, just look at the roster. There's nothing there.
Yeah, and they were holy hot trash last year.
Yeah, I mean, if they are for real, then I don't know. I don't know how you explain that.
Yeah.
Really going into the season.
Torts. Give all the credit to Team USA's amazing coach, Torts. They're fourth right now in the East, bud. 30 points. Yeah. They're 4 points behind Montreal.
Yeah, I know.
Having played one less game. What?
Some people have made the argument, and there might be some validity to this, that, you know, certain coaches are good in some situations and horrible in others. And Torts might be kind of good with youngish teams where expectations are low.
Hmm.
That's, you know, when he took over in Tampa, he did, you know, he wears out his welcome, but he took over a youngish Tampa team and won the cup with them. He took over a youngish Rangers team and turned them into a contender. You know, I'm sure he'll be out of a job in 2 years because the act will wear thin. Maybe there's something to be said about the fact that he does, you know, his skill set lends itself to the type of roster that the Blue Jackets have now.
Didn't really seem
or,
like that.
Or maybe they've just gotten lucky.
Yeah, it didn't really seem like that was the case last year.
Nope.
Like, it wasn't like he got in there and turned things around. I don't know. I'm very interested in this Columbus Blue Jackets storyline. If you ask me today, do I expect them to still be, you know, bullets in my head? This would be a weird thing to put a bullet to someone's head over, but, you know, if it were to happen...
Isn't gun to the head the expression?
Well, the bullet's there as well.
Fair, fair.
The gun doesn't scare me without the bullet.
Or vice versa, really.
That's also true. This is deep shit.
We're going deep.
Going deep. Gun to my head with a bullet in it. I would say no, the Columbus Blue Jackets won't make the playoffs. Which is probably risky, I mean, because they are right up there right now. But I don't know. It looks to me as if it would be pretty difficult for them to keep this going all season.
Yeah, and I mean, we all know the stats, you know, the McKenzie thing where if you're in playoff position at this point in the season, like 80% of the time you're going to make the playoffs, but...
80% of the time it works every time.
Yeah, that does mean that there's a team or two every year that doesn't do it, right?
Yeah, and exactly.
If I had to pick one, it would be Columbus.
That's the thing. People think like things like 80% are equal to 100%. They're not. Hillary Clinton, for instance. So, you know, when Bob McKenzie says that 80% thing, you're right. That's exactly that. At least one or two teams won't every year. Last year, that was the Montreal Canadiens.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, if the Columbus Blue Jackets went through a fall off the way that the Habs did last year, I wouldn't be the slightest bit surprised. Here's another, and we've already visited this one, but I want to visit it again because the answer may have changed. We go to you, our correspondent in Ottawa, for this one. Hmm, are they for real? Ottawa Senators.
I can't even remember what I said last time.
You said they seemed like that, like their record was accurate, but a little inflated, and they were like 7-4 at the time. But now they're 14-8-2 and also have 30 points.
Yeah. I mean, the cupboard isn't bare there.
No, they got some things.
Some stuff. It's not an overwhelming roster, but, you know, they got Carlson, they've got Stone. I know Ryan's not having a good year, but they've got Ryan. Like, there's some pieces there. There's enough pieces. You know, we've seen some pretty average Montreal teams kind of...
Hang around, yeah.
Around and get into the playoffs just because there's some stuff there.
Yeah.
I think that's what this Ottawa team is. They're not great by any stretch of the imagination. They're not getting in, you know, second round of the playoffs is their absolute ceiling. But you can have those years where you get some bounces and you get healthy and you have a decent enough team that you make a little bit of noise, but your ceiling is limited.
I like that your description of the Senators is the same as my description of Ottawa. There's some stuff there. It's some stuff.
Hey, Grey Cup is here, buddy.
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry. How dare I? The city of... It's a championship city now.
It is.
The Cleveland of Canada. How great did that feel in our nation's capital? Riding that Grey Cup high?
What's that?
Riding that Grey Cup high?
Yeah, buddy.
town was abuzz till 9:30.
Much better football team than I thought.
Huh. Well, it helps that the stadium's like downtownish. I'm sure that engages the folk.
Yeah, that is nice.
Does it? When I've been there, it does seem like the Red Blacks are more Ottawa's team than the Sens are a little bit. I don't know. There's something communal about the Red Blacks.
Yeah, it does. Like, I'm sure that, you know, really that's not the case, but it does seem that way. It does, like, even just walking down the street, I feel like I see more Red Black shit than I do Sens stuff. But
that's all I got for the whoms. Are they for real?
No, that's fair. I mean, I think Ottawa is better than Columbus.
Yeah. And Guy Boucher, I mean, I won't be shocked if Guy Boucher gets more out of that team for a year or two than he should be.
Yeah, I mean, he's got a little bit of the Torts thing going on too, right?
Yeah, exactly. I think he's a far better coach than Torts, and I think he's probably more effective, and I think he's less of a complete asshole. Complete asshole, keep in mind. It wouldn't surprise me if you got 15% extra out of the Sens, and 15% extra out of the Sens is kind of what their record is right now. So
yeah,
that seems fine. I'm okay with that.
They're a 500-ish team that's playing slightly above their heads.
Yeah, and they have a good goalie, which always helps.
Yeah, and that's a great story too.
Yeah, and they always manage to get points off the Canadiens somehow, so that helps them.
Yeah, that is a strange thing that of all the teams that seem to have Montreal's number, it's this sort of nondescript.
That's a real thorn in my ass, that one. That's a new bit I call it. It's a real thorn in my ass. It bothers me so much. I hate losing to Ottawa more than I hate losing to Boston and Toronto.
Yeah, there's always one team. Eh? Like it was Buffalo for a while, and then it was Carolina for the longest time.
But I never minded those. Like I didn't mind those teams so much. We always lost to them, but they didn't bother me the way the Sens bother me.
That's fair. But there is always that. There's regardless of how good or weak the team is. There's always, you know, that one team that seems to have your number, and during this era, it's Ottawa for whatever reason.
Can't wait till that's over.
And I don't know what that is. I don't think it's a stylistic thing. I think it's, you know,
coincidence
slash, you know, the mental thing. Once you get inside a team's head, maybe it's hard to get out of there. But
there's no such thing as mental things. It's all, you know, it's all just analytics, buddy. Don't try to get in anybody's head. Okay. Idiot. Otherwise, I'm going to send you out to wait for a taxi. You'll never be on this podcast again. That's how we send people off. Did that offend you? I'm talking about the Florida Panthers firing Jerry Gallant and him having to get a cab in Carolina.
I mean, it could have been handled a little more diplomatically, I guess. But
oh, yeah. Montreal Canadiens would have classed the fuck out of it. So much classy. Oh, when you get fired, all of the class. You get a little champagne. They send a private limo to pick you up. You get a massage on the way home because they're a classy organization.
Oh, yeah. They definitely treat their people well when they ship them out of town.
Oh, yeah.
No character assassination.
Never. Classy organization like those bums in Florida. Trump and this? Come on, Florida.
Yeah, not a great month for Florida.
Not a great century for Florida. It's never good for Florida. Here's another bit. It's called, Should We Be Concerned About This? And this week I'm featuring...
Not the catchiest title, but that's fine.
Hey! Do not call me out on the program. You know my rules. Taxi's going to be waiting for you, buddy. Actually, it won't be waiting for you. You're going to have to hail it yourself. We're not going to have the courtesy to call down and at least get it for you.
Yeah, I'm an Uberman anyways. That's fine.
That's true. So I'm out in North York last night, and it was telling me there were no Ubers available in my area. I'm still in a major city. North York's highly populated. Why there's no Uber drivers out there? I'm putting this out there to the general population. I've never had that happen to me before.
That is bizarre.
I think my app was acting up. Anyway, back to the bit.
Yeah.
People are chomping at the bit to get back to it. I'm sorry. I'll edit that out. Should we be concerned about this? The Habs' home record versus their road record. Home, very impressive. Road, below 500.
I'm not being terribly insightful today because I'm saying everything's just a coincidence, but
You're never that insightful. Don't.
What's that?
Don't apologize. You're never that insightful. Let's be honest.
That's very true.
Yeah.
I mean, your record at home is almost always going to be better than your record on the road. I don't.
Ooh, Jesus. You know. That's what the people come for. That's a good take. Next. but you're right. No, you are right.
I don't think it's cause for concern yet. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, by under 500, they're a game under 500. Like, if they were winless on the road or something, that would be maybe cause for concern.
But, yeah. Yeah.
You know, batting 500 from home for, you know, I think that's fine. That's reasonable.
All right. I'll allow it. I'm slightly worried, a little bit. Although, I say that and then I realize that it might just, that's a stupid thing. Like, I am legitimately concerned. It's something that when I'm wondering and worrying about the Canadians, that's one of the elements that I'm a little worried about. But I also, in the back of my mind or the front of my mind, I'm thinking, that's stupid. Like, is home away ever a real thing beyond, yeah, you're going to play a little bit better at home. Your fans are there. Your record's always most likely going to be a little bit better at home. And sometimes, as you say, just by coincidence or luck, you end up a little bit better when you're at home than even, you know, the expected boost. Or sometimes you end up a little bit better on the road than the expected boost. But I think that's generally coincidence. I never want to put too much on that.
Yeah, and, you know, they've already gotten one West Coast swing out of the way. Like, those trips are tough. Like, yeah, they never do well on those.
Haven't gone well so far. And we still got San Jose. We're recording this before they play the Sharks on Friday night. So that's coming up. And they'll lose that. I'm just going to put that. We might as well pretend that happened. Oh, the Habs lost to the Sharks tonight, too. Never win in San Jose, and especially never in Anaheim.
Yeah, I mean, those are tough games. So if it was all losses, you know, at Columbus and at Florida and at the Islanders, that would maybe be a little more problematic. But no team does well in those West Coast games.
No. And the Montreal Canadiens especially. Here's a new bit called Admit Something. No, wait, let's switch it to Confession. That's better.
Ooh.
Yeah. Ooh, wait. Oh, it'll be like, okay, forgive me, Sean, for I have sinned. Then you say whatever they say back. I've never been to confession.
Yeah, neither have I.
Ooh.
What's the deal, buddy? I
assume that's what they say.
In Latin, but I don't speak Latin.
Do you speak pig Latin? Do it in pig Latin. part of me enjoys nights when the Habs are getting vastly outplayed because you get to watch Price do his thing, and it's marvelous. Like that Detroit game, the Canadians were outplayed quite a bit, I feel, by the end of that one. And it just meant we got to watch Carey Price do his thing. And it's fun. I know it's not ideal. I know it's not great for the team. But as someone who's just sitting at home, it's more entertaining.
I get that. I absolve you.
Thanks. Perfect. That's what, man, Catholicism's great. I get why people are into it.
I mean, listen, he is obviously the best thing about the team, so there's something to be said about, you know, watching him at the height of his powers.
And it's not
it'd be better if the team was only facing 19 shots a night and he was, you know, stopping 18 of them, but...
But then would we even know how good he is?
That's fair.
So there you go. That's my... I'll say a couple Hail Marys or something like that.
I already absolved you. I think that's...
Oh, right, yeah. Good point. God, that's a good deal. That is a goddamn good deal. Whoops. Probably lost it there. I blew it. See, this is why I'm no good at religion.
You're so close.
Speaking of sins, Vegas, baby.
Vegas.
Vegas. And that's our segment called Vegas, baby. What do we think of the Golden Knights? Vegas Golden Knights. Not the Las Vegas Golden Knights. The Vegas Golden Knights.
Here's my controversial opinion of the week.
Ooh, good. I'm glad we're getting there. Beautiful.
I kind of like it.
Okay.
I like the name. I really like the logo. And listen, there's an 85% chance this is going to be a disaster.
Mm-hmm. But we said 80% chances sometimes.
Yeah, that other 15% chance that this might work does have me kind of excited.
And you know what's a great place to gamble? Reno, Nevada. And do you like the logo? I kind of like the logo.
I like the logo.
I like the logo better than the name.
What's that?
I like the logo better than the name. If it was just Vegas Knights, I'd be like, hell yeah, that's a good team name. Yeah. And maybe Las Vegas. I know they're what they were doing with the Vegas thing because Las Vegas Golden Knights is a mouthful. But, you know, ask the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim and company. It's fine.
Yeah, I would prefer Las Vegas as well, but whatever.
I think it was Steve Dangle who brought up the point when he called Las Vegas on his thing. And people were like, it's Vegas, buddy. And he's like, oh, yeah, just like it's Jose and York. Like it does, because we do call Vegas Vegas, you kind of get away with it. But, like, it is a little stupid.
It is a little stupid, yeah.
Also a little stupid that the London Knights get to own that entirely through, all of hockey? Is that the rule? That's weird. I didn't know you could do that.
That is weird, although there have been conflicting reports on how true that is.
What? Really?
Yeah.
Huh. So they just didn't want to be the Knights?
But it seems accurate, right? Like, that seems to be the only explanation.
Yeah, I would think so. Because Knights is natural. That would make sense. Why you would feel the need to apply golden or silver or desert, as seemed to be the three that were being floated out there, unless you had to. And then especially with them dropping loss from the whole thing. It just, like, if a mouthful was your concern, you'd probably think about dropping the golden before the loss. Dropping the golden. They're going to be sweet trash the first season, though. I was seeing some of the possible lineups they could put out there. Holy hell, they're going to be bad.
Yeah, you always, you know, every time, I mean, it's been a while since we've had an expansion team, but, you know, people always kind of go through the players that might be available, and you always get people trying to make the argument, like, you know, if you got these players, they could be half competitive. I mean, and I guess we'll see the way the draft goes, but, yeah, they're going to be pretty brutal, which is almost what you want. Like, I don't know if having an expansion team, like, play over their heads and grab a playoff spot in their first year with a bunch of aging mediocre players is really the way you want to go, to be honest.
You think shitty hockey is the way to really invigorate the fan base?
Yeah, I do. Mm.
Maybe you shouldn't be NHL commissioner. You know, I sort of agree with you, even though I'm not quite sure why. And it's also good that they'll be so bad for everybody that's going down there. They'll get to see their team win all the time.
Yeah, I mean, I think, like I said, there's a good chance that this turns into Phoenix, but worse.
Oof.
Yeah. But it could be kind of fun. Like, it's the fact that they're the first team in, I think, makes a big difference, actually.
Yeah, that's true.
Although, we'll see if the Raiders end up moving there or not. But
yeah, that'll overshadow it so fast.
Yeah, I mean, if the Raiders are there,
Raiders,
they're kind of dead on arrival. But if they are the first team in the market, and especially if they have that market to themselves for a couple of years. And, you know, Vegas is a pretty unique city, and you got the fans coming in from other cities to watch the game. And it would be kind of cool to see it work.
It's always going to be – it's going to be like the Ottawa of America, though, in that it's the opponents are – fans are always going to be louder.
Las Vegas is the Ottawa of America. That comparison's been made a lot.
I know. Frequently. Very frequently. But in the sense that when you go into the building, it's going to be at least half filled with the opposition fans.
Yeah.
Or Florida. Although that only happens for like the Habs and the Rangers in New York.
That was always the argument they made for Florida and Phoenix is, you know, there's so many snowbirds and there's so many tourists that you'll be full every night.
Yeah.
And that has not been the case.
No, it turns out when it's really nice outside. And I mean, Florida, there's only a beach. There's not all that much else to do in Florida besides maybe, I don't know, wrestle alligators and copulate with your family. But
sounds awesome.
You missed that last part, I guess.
I did. I heard the wrestling alligators. Right?
Yeah, you should have paid attention a little longer before you said that sounds awesome. Anyways, incest aside, Vegas is like, there's so much to do. That being said, though, I am more tempted now than I ever have been to go to Vegas.
Vegas has never held any appeal to me whatsoever.
Remember that time we went to a casino and were there for like an hour and got bored?
Yep.
Going to a whole city of it might not be wise, but if there's a hockey game.
Yeah, I mean, I can see that being really fun.
Yeah. No, there's going to be a lot of Canadians going down. Maybe not even more than already are, but it's another activity to do while there.
Yeah, I mean, tickets are going to be, we presume, pretty cheap. Like,
it's free. You can win them.
Yeah, you can win them. Like, go down for a weekend, watch your team. Could be fun. Could work.
It'll work for a little while. I wonder how long. But yeah. I mean, if Celine Dion can perform every goddamn night, maybe there's
also all Canadian expats, I assume.
Probably. She seems popular with people. Who? I don't know, but with people.
There's a whole segment of, like, musicians who have sold tens of millions of albums, and I don't know one person who would ever want to listen to them, and highly rated TV shows that I've never met a single person who watches them.
They're all the same people.
Yeah, we run in different crowds, I guess, but...
Yeah. Who else? Let's see. Who's another one that shocks you?
That's a good question. Music-wise?
Yeah, music-wise.
Well, even, I mean, Adele to a certain extent. For someone who's the star in the world, I don't really know anyone who listens to her.
I know some Adele people. I know quite a few Adele people.
Mm-hmm.
You're just such a music snob, unlike me, who am the people. Should not know everyone did on that Shania Twain thing. Ah.
That's another Vegas staple.
That's true. Maybe that's what we just, yeah, whoever it is in Vegas, that's who seems to be also the mystery people. Here's a question for you.
Yeah?
This is a bit called, here's a question for you. Emlyn is decent?
I don't know about that one.
Okay.
He does always have, you know, I mean, he does...
I've liked what I've seen
from him. A particular set of skills, and...
I have a particular set of skills.
In the right role and for stretches, he can be effective, but I do think he's, you know, in the long term, he's always going to be an anchor on your team, possession-wise.
I think he's kind of decent. Kinda.
Sure. Sure. I mean, I suppose if you take the contract aspect out of it, like, he's a fine number four defenseman.
Yeah, that's it. And that's what they're playing him as right now, and I think that's okay. It's amazing.
They are using him better than they have in the past.
Yeah, although I'm very concerned about Andrei Markov's usage. But that happens every year.
Yeah.
You can set your clock by that one. Which should bring us to Andrei Markov's having a hell of a season. So it's time to check in on his Instagram. See if we can deduce what's been leading to this. There it is. See what's happened lately. Well, it's all baby. It's all just... No, there hasn't been... There's only been one. New Generation by Markov. It's his two kids, I get. Definitely his two kids. Holy shit, look at those two. And hashtag Markov team. Only one Instagram.
Since, what are we supposed to do with that? Since can't last really the tea leaves on that one.
Well, I think the tea leaves are obvious. He's staying off the social media and concentrating on his game.
Well, it's paying off.
And it's, you know, that's what I find the issue is with these men in their late 30s. So obsessed with the social media. No work ethic. But this, I like what Markov's done. He's put the social media aside, gets back to work, and he's skating 23 minutes a night, and I keep worrying that he's just going to die out there.
Well, we've seen it. Like, we kind of saw that happen last year, right?
Yeah, no, we've seen it. I mean, we've seen it year in, year out, where he starts good. We use everything. Martin Terrier decides to just keep trotting him out there because he can't learn a fucking lesson. And then come playoffs, he's non-existent.
Yeah, I mean, it's not rocket science that old-ass players probably shouldn't, you know, are going to get tired if you keep running them out for 23 minutes a night.
And I know he's having a great season, but Jesus, who cares about right now? Who cares if we're running away with the East? Let's slow it down a little. It's bothering
me. Yeah, I think it would behoove Bergevin to, if he could make a move for a number two defenseman and slot Markov down to number three and have, you know, reduce his minutes even a bit more. That would probably be a nice play.
It's not going to happen. Even if we get that guy, he's going to play Markov more.
That's probably true.
Drives me freaking nuts. Where is Markov right now in terms of total points on the team? I think he's like top five, and you know he's going to slow. That's a concern.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because there's no way he keeps it up. Absolutely impossible.
But, you know, I mean, it goes back to what we said at the beginning of the show, which is that this isn't – it seems stupid to pile on Therrien given, you know, his record since the day he arrived, but this isn't a well-coached team. It's a team with a generational talent that papers up a whole lot of flaws. And you do wonder what this team could be with competent coaching.
Oh, God, do I wonder.
Yeah, I know.
Keeps me up at night.
Yeah, fair enough.
Markov's currently got more points than Radulov.
Is that true?
Yeah. One more point than Radulov, but he's still got... That's...
Wow.
We can't be depending on that. Holy shit.
That's insane.
No, that's a lie. He's got one less point. Sorry.
Even then, though, that's impressive.
One less point than Radulov, one less point than Shea Weber.
Wow.
And Alex Galchenyuk's got 22 points. I'm telling you, Markov's not going to keep this going. Now, you would hope at some point Brendan Gallagher's points get upped and Max Pacioretty. And I'm personally not holding out hope for Plex anymore. I think that we may have seen the best of him. Yeah. I just don't know that that's going to turn out, which is sad and a little disappointing because you would have liked him to have held on a couple more years. Just to be that he's finally the second line center on this team, which is where he should slot in. And now that he's finally there, he's not there in terms of what he can do.
But, I mean, Plex is, what, 34, 35?
No, he's younger than that, I think. Let me look up how old Thomas
Brodin is. He's been around for a while. Like, you're right. It would have been nice to have him churn out two or three more, sort of decent post-peak seasons. But he is at that age where players start to fall off. And sometimes you fall off in a hurry, and he has not looked like himself for a while now.
No. He was born in 82. He's 2 years older than me. He's 34.
Yeah.
Come on. I mean, that is when the decline begins sharply for some players. And probably it's not surprising for a player like him who always, who always struggled at times to score, even though when the season was done, you used to be able to depend on him for 20 no matter what. And defensively, I think his defensive game's still there because you can always hold that a little bit longer. But so he could, he can be the third line center. That's a lot of money for a third line center. And then you're still without a second line center.
Yep.
There are holes. There's at least two holes on this team. But maybe it's one hole behind the bench, I'll tell you that. But maybe Carey Price can paper over it all.
It's entirely possible.
How good was that Buffalo team that Hasek took all the way to Game 7 overtime? Were they any good? Or was that all him?
In my memory, it was, literally all him. Maybe I'm forgetting something, but...
What year was that? 98?
98, 99. I mean, Michael Pekka was a nice player, but when he's your best forward, that ain't great.
No. Let's see. I'm trying to look up this roster here, because I want to recall if it was just all Hasek, if we can hope for that, or if you need a little bit more around. And, I mean, there's not nothing. Alex Galchenyuk's a star at this point.
Yeah.
Alex Radulov's great. That, Max Pacioretty could come back, I guess.
Sure.
Let's see. Northeast finished fourth. 88, 89. 98, 99. Well, this is close enough. It'll be similar to what that team was. Matthew Barnaby, Stu Barnes, Randy Cunningworth.
Hey.
Joe Juno. Michael Pekka, Jesus, Wayne Primo.
Wow, I know that was the dead puck era, but that is a dog shit role.
Satan?
He was a nice player.
He was all right. Yeah, that's it.
Wow. And it's not like they had Pronger and Niedermeyer on the blue line either.
No.
That, Dantine was like, as we'll ever see, I think.
So I guess that's something to put, we can put our hopes on. We could be. The team that gets ripped off by a terrible call in overtime. Goddamn Brett Hall.
And I mean, it sounds like sacrilege to compare anyone to...
That was the team, the 98-99 team. Holy.
Yeah, there's not a ton there.
They had Lindy Ruff as a coach, though. So from the 98 or the 99 Stanley Cup Final, we move on to one of my favorite bits on the show now. It's called the mid-podcast interview. You ready for this again?
Oh, yeah, buddy.
Sweet. All right, I'll be interviewing you this week. Get your towel on. All right, Sean, you guys have been off for a little while. I know some people worried about the rust. How are you feeling so far?
Yeah, you always takes a little while to get your legs under you, but you got to go out there, and it's just like any other podcast, right? It doesn't matter if you've been off for a couple months or if it's your second podcast in three nights. You gotta go out there and give her. So I think that's what we did.
Did you do anything in the interim to, stay in pod shape?
Oh, you know, we got a good group of boys there, and they're not going to let us get too complacent. So, yeah, we stayed in game shape for sure. A lot of talking.
All right. Thanks. Good luck out there.
Thanks, buddy.
Electrifying stuff. Electrifying. From that amazing bit, another amazing bit. And this one's taken a turn. It's our segment called Is Sidney Crosby the Best Skater in the World? It was up and down over the month, but I think Crosby listened to the bit and firmly put his stamp on yes again.
Yeah, that's fair. We all know who's coming, and he's probably going to grab that crown sooner rather than later, but...
Watch the throne.
Well, yeah, watch the throne, buddy. You come at the king, you best not miss.
I got nothing. Wasn't ready. McDavid, I called it. Ooh, ding, ding. Write this down, kids, even though it's only the quarter mark of the season. Connor McDavid, a lot of heat right now around him for the heart.
Yeah.
Which I'm kind of like, why isn't it Sidney? Isn't he having a better season?
Yeah, he is. Well, you know how stupid these things are, right?
Yeah, they are.
It's 50% narrative. At least,
like it should be Crosby. McDavid's having an awesome season, or Carey Price. Like those are your three finalists. I'm fine with that.
I mean, I think it should be Price.
It should be Price. Oh yeah, because that Pittsburgh team. I mean, you know, then is it valuable? Is it how good they are? But I think even if you're just going by pure performance, Price is having a better season than Sidney.
Yeah.
What percentage do you give him over McDavid at the moment?
10.
That's what I was going to say. Should have said it at the same time. That would have sounded cool.
We just become best friends.
Oh, here's a new bit that I want to introduce for you. It's called You Get One. And this is essentially, this is part of me like trying to win you back over for the, as your Canadiens fandom. So you get one, but you only get one. All right.
Yeah.
One of these guys get one. Michael Camilleri return or Jaromir Jagr.
Who was the second one?
Jagr. And this is like with the contract they currently have with everything, you know, no magical elixir for getting Jagr back to last year's form.
Yeah.
Right now, today, the Habs swap them for nothing for some reason. Which one do you get?
Finally seeing Jagr in a Habs uniform might be the one thing that could get Bergevin back into my off my shit list.
Well, with the Panthers being bad, maybe if Jagr's analytics aren't great.
To play with, I think he's contractually obligated at this point to play for every single team, right? So.
Yeah,
we're due at some point before he goes to play in Vegas for the next 37 years.
Yeah, he's drooling at the prospect. That's why I think he's having a bit of a weak season. He's just distracted by this Vegas idea too much. He's so excited.
Yeah.
It's good. I fully expect him to sign in Vegas, so I don't even say that as a joke.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I thought you were going to say Cammy. I mean, it's even in your Twitter bio, man.
I know.
And he's right now the better player. Yeah, exactly. Cammy would be a great addition to the Habs right now.
Yeah.
He's the kind of player that would be awesome to have on that second line right now. You know, but what's his cap's not great. I'll check it out on Cap Friendly. You can check the Canadiens rosters or any of the NHL salary cap situations just right on Rabbit Habs. It's sitting there in giant for you, capfriendly.com. So I'm going to check that out right now and see how Cammy's doing. Cap Friendly. I think it gets like quite expensive for what he does, though.
Yeah, I think I'm trying to remember how many years he has left. I think the hit's not
it's the
atrocious.
Length. It's not the length; it's the hit. You know that counts. That's what they say. Tools, calculators, teams. There we go. This is the good stuff. This is why people put this podcast on. Michael Camilleri. Jesus, this is... There we go. 5 million.
For how many more years?
Seems to be until 2019. So 2 more years after this.
Ugh.
That's... Like, if it was 1 more year after this, I'd be like, yeah, do it.
Yeah.
Two's a lot. Because he's also into that 33, 34 range, I think, at this point.
Yeah.
And he's already come down quite a bit. And he's pretty injury prone.
Yeah. Yeah, that probably wouldn't be the wisest move. I mean, you would understand the temptation there because, you know, those cup windows can close pretty fast, man. So if you've got a shot at it, I'm kind of a big believer in you know, you swing for the fences if you have a legitimate shot, which the Habs seem to.
He's 34. Right in that flex window.
Yeah.
He's having a good season, though, but those two extra years, that's 35 and 36. He stays in good shape. But he is injury prone. I don't know. That one could come back to bite you in the ass.
Yeah, good.
Let's see what else we got here for... Oh, you did your controversial opinion. I'm going to bring up my controversial opinion now.
Oh, yeah. Let's hear it.
So Brian Burke. We all enjoy the Brian Burke experience, I think, as long as he's not in charge of your team.
I truly do.
He acts like he doesn't care what people think about him and his image. And I think that's bullshit, and he's completely obsessed with it.
Fair.
Like, that tie thing? Come on. What is that? You don't actively put a tie on that you don't tie every single day because, like, what, you get distracted the exact same moment? That's the most douchey fucking look. If somebody at your office did that, you'd be like, I hate that guy. If every day he came in, he's like, oh, no, I just throw the tie on like this. This is how I wear it. Be like, fuck you, buddy. That's a hipster-ass move, Brian Burke.
He's a bit of a hipster, isn't he?
He, very much. He was into barn fights before they were in barns. They were just in fields. I don't know if that's even that controversial. But with him going off again this week, because he loves to do... He loves it. He loves people paying attention to him, even though he acts like an old grump. He loves people thinking about his image. I mean, that hair, that's not somebody who doesn't care. That's someone who really cares a lot. Though, when he starts speaking, I always love it. So, what can you do?
He is entertaining as hell, I'll give him that.
I think he knows it, though. He's got a brand. He knows it. He would deny that. I never even heard the word brand. I don't know what that means. But.
Pretty decent break.
That came out. I'm never going to do another one because I got lucky there, I think. I'm just going to leave it at that. No, I'll definitely try and milk that one more time, and it won't work. But yeah, he's a big fat phony.
Dougie Hamilton on the market, eh?
No, he's not on the market. Spreading those rumors again. See, it went off. I knew it was going to. God damn it.
It was fun while it lasted.
Still, I thought I was going to ride that to podcast fame. I thought that was our ticket, our great impression. All right, I'm feeling like I got enough out of this. So unless you got something else, we need to get into the positive space before we leave.
Oh, right, always. No, I think that about covers it. You know, the team's sort of half stumbling at the moment, but I mean, I guess this is mostly just because Carey's healthy. But it doesn't feel like they're in implosion mode like they were last year. It's just that there's no way, like. It was mathematically impossible to keep up the pace that they were at. So
yeah, it's also boring. This regular season thing when we just have to wait and find out if Price is going to stand on his head in the playoffs or not.
Yeah,
like I'm a little bored this season. Outside of what, and I think that's a big part of why I don't mind when they're getting their asses handed to him and Carey's standing on his head because it's an interesting part. But like I don't know, maybe it's the lack of Subban. I'm a little bored this year, and I think part of it is also just the realization that, look, of course we'll make the playoffs as long as Price is healthy, probably in a top four position, and then we got to wait and see what he does there. Like, maybe Blackhawks fans get bored during the regular season too, and it's like, well, we got to wait till the playoffs to find out what the hell's going on.
Yeah, and when you're spending the whole season just holding your breath, hoping he doesn't get hurt, you know, when you're so reliant on one player, it's... There's a little bit of, like, let's just get this over with and make it through the season healthy.
This is boring. I'm trying to bring Borat back in a big way, but people are not on board. Obviously, you're on board.
I'm wildly on board.
I know. All right, so before we leave, we got to do the positive space. Let me get ready. My positive space this week is, what was I bitching about? Being bored? That was one of the things I was bitching about. Yeah, I mean, if boring is a 16-5-2 record, then that's not so bad. That's not the worst boring in the world. I feel like that's not positive enough.
I mean, listen, it's the seasons where the team was flirting with 500 and hoped to squeak into the playoffs were more exciting in a way, I guess, but I don't know if I would trade spots with those seasons.
No, that's true. And we get to watch Carey Price do his, like, it's really special what Price is doing right now, and it's sometimes hard in the moment to appreciate that fully. Like, we knew how good Hasek was at the time, but I'm not sure we quite got it, and it takes years later on not seeing anybody else do anything like that to really appreciate what it is. And that is what's going on with Carey Price right now. That's something. That's more than something. That's a lot of something. I mean, you're watching a legendary season happen, and it's your guy on your team. That's amazing. Like, you don't get to do that all the time as a sports fan.
No, I mean, once every 10 years, if you're lucky.
You're lucky. Like, Columbus has never had anything like that.
Nope.
All right, I thought that was good. I got there in the end. Good job, me.
Yeah, buddy.
I'm even talking myself up here. That's how positive this space is. What about you? What were you negative about? Besides just general, your general curmudgeonly nature.
General, misanthropy. Well, you know, I mean, it was hard out there for the Bergevin apologists were really having a field day for the first couple months of the season, and things weren't going so good in Nashville, and it was tough. But it's nice to see the Preds turning things around, and PK turning things around as well.
Did you watch the HBO Canada PK Subban special?
No, I didn't.
Me neither. You didn't know that was a thing?
No.
What's up with you?
I don't know. How was I not aware of this?
I'm worried about you, buddy.
Yeah, fair.
Gonna have to run some tests. No doctor, but we'll run some tests anyways. Yeah, it was, what the hell was the name of it? PK Subban, I'm the best, look at me. It was called PK Subban Skate Past the Noise, the off-season.
Oh.
Promised an up-close look at the life of the Nashville Predators defenseman and unparalleled access to his inner circle. Follows him throughout the off-season.
He's so camera shy, I'm kind of surprised he agreed to that.
I know.
Sure.
Yeah, skate past the noise. No, PK, you don't skate past the noise. You skate to the middle and you love it. And that's why we loved you. But let's not pretend you're a keep-your-head-down lunch pail guy. As Shea Weber skates past the noise. Well, slowly. Skates up to the noise and knocks it over. Yeah, I mean, it's on HBO Canada. I'm sure it's not that difficult. They'll show it many times.
True.
PK will watch it every single time it shows. All right, that'll do it. We're back. Hopefully we'll keep up a more regular pace now that my matrimonial duties are behind me. Other than that, follow Sean. Yes, good to be back. Don't know why I said it like that. You're on Twitter at the O'Neill Factor.
Yeah.
I'm on Twitter at Zach Drops Tweets.
Yeah.
This podcast is on Twitter at The Montreal Bias. And the website that brings you this podcast is on Twitter at Rabid Habs. Always encourage you to check out what's going on Rabid Habs. We've got my Recency Bias, which you can find there, as well as on iTunes and Stitcher. It's my little mini podcast that I do after every game. Well, tried to, though the last week I was off. But I'm back in action on that. And if you subscribe if you subscribe to this podcast, which we call The Big Show now, you automatically, that'll just pop up in your same feed. We've got the Habs game blog, which is a nice little recap. It runs live. AJ runs it live as the game goes on, but we get it up the next day on Rabbit Habs, so you can kind of follow the flow of the game, especially if you missed it. It's a nice read. Kind of get a sense that you did watch the game. And then we brought the forum back this week. So there's always just random articles going up. So good stuff. Our contributors are hitting hard these days. So check that out. And on that note, we get out of here. We'll be back. I'm going to go watch the Sharks beat the Canadians now. Positive space closed.